Reading to you from Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one day God really surprised me and called me to preach. As I said so many times, I did not want to be a preacher. But I'll tell you right now, I'm so glad that I did decide to follow Him and do what He's called me to do. You know, friends, there are so many great preachers in America. Now, would this be a surprise to you when I said Billy Graham is not a great preacher, but boy, he's a great man. Nobody's been used as much as he has. And I thank God for men like that. And D.L. Moody and Sunday, they were great preachers. Well, what I try to do is use what I've got, asking the Lord for direction, the things to say. And if I don't talk about Jesus, then I shouldn't be preaching. Well, listen, why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass iced tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, I pray that I'll never be a compromising preacher, that I'll tell it like it is from this, your book. Book inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to godly men to put this book down, the writings down, that for centuries down through the centuries, that men and women could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for calling those fishermen and calling the tax collectors and telling them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. For it not been for their faithfulness, there's a good possibility that we wouldn't be saved tonight. Father, you know the spiritual and physical financial needs of all of our Red Listing family. You also know the physical, financial, spiritual needs of this broadcast. And we ask, Lord, that you supply our needs as you always have in the past. And we thank you for our Red Listening family who take time on occasion to sit down and write and send a little money in so that we can go to prisons. Lord, we know that without them we couldn't do it. So we pray that you'll bless them. Bless our prayer warriors who pray hour after hour for this ministry and for these dear people we mention on the broadcast. Now, Lord, lift up Jesus. Honor your word. Hide me behind the cross. Save that confused man and woman or boy or girl who don't know where heaven is, and I pray they'll find out tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, friends, I don't know whether you believe this or not, but I'm sure you do. It costs something to follow Jesus. Isn't it strange that he would call men like fishermen and call tax collectors and others to be his disciples, to take this message around the world and to all parts of the world? And they gave up all that they had to follow Jesus. Now, friends, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. No, I'm not a missionary. Well, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, if your sins are under the blood of Jesus, you are obligated, you are commanded to be witnesses and soul winners for Jesus. It says in Mark 10:28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. That's exactly what they did. These men made their living catching fish. And they were good at it. But that there came a time when Jesus said that they had to follow him. My stars in the morning, I'll tell you, I'm so glad that they did follow him, or we wouldn't stand a chance. In Luke 5:27, and after these sayings, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipts of custom, and he said to him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Friends, one of the most exciting things that I did one time when I was a director of the rescue mission up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I invited about 15 pastors and their wives, and we had a supper that night at the mission. And I said, we're going to do something tonight that I've never done before, and I would think it would really be nice. I would like to hear each one of you pastors tell when you were called to preach, and tell us about your first sermon. I will guarantee you that was the most interesting evening I'd ever spent. Why? Because you'd be surprised how men drag their feet when they're called to preach. Many don't want to do it. Particularly, I didn't want to do it because of my lack of education. And I thought you had to be like Apostle Paul to be a preacher. That's not it at all. They said that Peter and John were ignorant, unlearned men, but there was one thing about them that was different. They had been with Jesus. Friends, you cannot be with Jesus long without your life changing completely. Absolutely, your life has changed. Now you say, well, Cecil, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I cannot change. Of course you cannot change. The Lord Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out. I've seen a lot of men in Skid Row get saved, and then not only did they clean up the outside, he cleaned up the inside. How does he do that? Well, he takes out the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Now, here's a guy, and I'm not thinking only about myself. But I left home so drunk I couldn't even see. And I'm so ashamed to have to tell you that. But it really did. I left home. I decided to take my life because my wife and family had taken all the stuff they were going to take from me. Lies and no money and no food. And I don't blame her if she'd have shot me. But that morning she said it was all over. There was no use to try to talk her out. This was all over. Well, when I got to this preacher's house, he didn't tell me, well, now, Cecil, did you know the evils of drinking? Don't you know drinking is a sin? No, he didn't say that. I already knew that. A lot of men, bless their hearts, and women who go to AA really believe in their heart that alcoholism is a disease. It is not a disease. It's a sin problem. Now, the Bible wouldn't say that you had to go to hell because you were a drunkard if there wasn't something to it. Otherwise, you can do something about your condition. A homosexual, a lesbian, you can do something about your condition when you come to Christ. Well, when you decide that you are called of God, then you have to make preparations to get an education as much as possible. Not everyone has that opportunity. I got to go to Bible college, but I didn't get to go to seminary. I would have loved to go to seminary, but I'm afraid if I had, I'd have probably got the big head. No, I probably would have, so that's why I didn't go there. But anyway, in Luke 5:27, and it said, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. Now, this guy was a tax receiver. Hey, those tax collectors were hated by the Jews. They were crooked. They were dishonest. And they gave the Roman government, they gave them a cut of the action. They could charge anything they want for taxes. Sounds like an America, don't it? Poor old president's been trying to get a tax break. I don't know if it's going to affect any of us, but I hope it does. Oh, I really hope it does. because I think we got the greatest nation in all the world. We got some crooked politicians, you know that, and I know that, but they're going to have to stand before God and give an account for their life. But this guy did. He left his business of making big money and followed Jesus without any guarantee or pay. Now, you know, when Paul was out hurting all the Christians he could, putting them in jail. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned to death and held Stephen's coat. But Paul, when he was called of God to preach, he went out and did exactly what God called him to do. But he had to make money too. So what did Paul do? By trade, Paul was a tent maker. So he'd make a big tent, and he'd sell it. He'd take the money and go on. That's what I've done all of my Christian life. I've had to work. I shouldn't say I had to work all of my Christian life. I mean, I didn't get paid for it when I was pastoring. Got $100 a month, which is not very much money when you got five kids. So what did I do? Excuse me. I went in the roofing business because that's what I was. And through all the years, this roofing took me around halfway around the world, took me to Japan, took me to Alaska, Mexico, to preach Jesus. Now, the first time in my life I really realized the cost of following Jesus, we had bought a little five-acre place up in Linden, Washington. And it was it wasn't fancy. It was just a nice little old house, three-bedroom house. And we had a barn, and we got a cow. I was raised on a wheat and cattle ranch, and we knew what it was to have milk for the children. We had a nice garden space. Boy, we had a good garden space. And we raised some pigs for butchering, and we had fruit trees. We were very comfortable, but we didn't have any money to speak of. Didn't have anything. And one day, my wife and I and my four children was invited over to this dairyman's place, and he wanted an estimate on putting siding on his house. We went over there, and I gave him an estimate. We got in our little Jeep station wagon, and we started back home. The sun was shining. There wasn't a car in sight. The next thing I know, the front end went out from underneath my Jeep, threw us off into a ditch about 12 foot down. We flipped over, but we lit on our wheels in this water. There's a creek, small creek. I couldn't find my wife. When I woke up, my head was in the cold water and my feet was wrapped around the windshield, or the steering wheel. I looked in the back seat and here one of my children was laying bleeding. I looked out on the bank and here was two of my children laying there bleeding. I couldn't find my wife. And I got panicky and I got out and I saw her head sticking out from underneath the back of the Jeep. I did everything I could to try to lift that Jeep off of her, but I couldn't, of course. In the meantime, four farmers saw it, and they run down there, and those four men lifted my wife up off the Jeep, above my wife, and I pulled her off underneath the Jeep. And while I was there, when I saw that all of us were alive, I asked the farmers to bow their heads with me. And I wanted to thank the Lord for sparing my family. They told around the country that Cecil Moe was crazy out of his head, and he was praying while his family was laying there in the bank. When they got the ambulance there, and I was limping, and this farmer said, "Why are you limping?" I said, "Well, I don't know." And there was an inch and three-quarter roofing nail driven right into my leg, and he took a pair of pliers and pulled them out, and all. They rushed us to the hospital, and they put us in several different rooms. And I was going from child to child and my wife, praying with them and patting them on the back. And I called my pastor, and I said, "We're in the hospital." And so he came down praying for us and praying with us. Now, My wife had a broken collarbone, and she was in bad shape, and the kids were pretty well banged up. But you know what? About, I guess I'd spent 3 weeks in the hospital in traction, and we got out, and finally the church down in Anacortes, Washington, heard that I had been in a wreck and I was available to preach. So they called me to preach down there to be their pastor. The last night I stayed at the house, and my wife and kids were down at the other place, down in Anacortes, cleaning up the house. I got up and the moon was so beautiful that night. I looked out that big old plate glass window, and I began to cry. We had to give that up to follow Jesus. I didn't want to give that up. I didn't want to give it up. But I did. My wife and family did. The other day when we were over in the West Coast, my wife and I drove by our little place. Oh, friends, the memories that flooded my soul. But we were trying to be disciples of the Lord. We tried to obey Him. And I've said over the many years, my wife and I have given up several homes to follow Jesus. We didn't relish it, but we did it because we wanted to follow the Lord. Now, here's what He promises in Luke 18. And He said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and the world to come, life, everlasting life. And dear friends, that is true. Oh, how true that is. He has blessed us. There's been so many times that, especially money times, it just seemed like we were invited by an alcoholic to go down to Tacoma, Washington, to bring his alcoholic wife home. Boy, I tell you, we went down there, and she wouldn't come home with us. And I think we had enough gas to get home, and I think I had $5 in my pocket, and we had a flat tire. Well, I had a spare. We put that on, had another flat tire. And here we were. Now, we'd paid money out, and so I think we had 50 cents in our pocket. It was about midnight, and it was cold. And there we were sitting out there 30 miles from anywhere at night and freezing and no spare tire and no way to go. All of a sudden, I said, hey, I'm going to go on and drive on that flat tire, but we got to get somewhere. About that time, a guy pulled up in front of our car and stopped me. He said, you got a problem, sir? I said, yeah, we got a problem. We don't have no spare tire. We've used them. Well, he said, let's take that tire off and come on and we'll go up the road here and we'll get it fixed. Now, I don't remember if I had 50 cents or not, but I know 50 cents would not have taken care of that tire. And while we were going, like, it smelled alcohol in the sky, breath. We drove up to this service station about 30 miles away, and they fixed it. And before anything could be said, I never even thought about it, he reached in his pocket and paid for that tire. I did not tell him I was a Christian. I did not tell him anything. Now, on the way back, I decided, now, Cecil, there was a rhyme and a reason for this problem. So I started witnessing to him. And I witnessed all the way back to the car. We stopped. He wouldn't got out, put the tire on. And right out there in the moonlight, I put my arm around his shoulder and I said, son, you were sent from God to help us. I've told you about Him. I told you He loves you. And did you know what He did? He followed us all the way up to Belen to be sure we got home safe. And then I called his wife and told him where he was. He was a cook in a restaurant at night, and he said he was so troubled. But you see, no matter what you give up for the Lord, God's got somebody in your life that He's going to send your way. No matter what the problem is, sooner or later, you just trust the Lord and you see what He will do. Now, it says in Philippians 3, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul renounced the world. He renounced everything that he might be the man of God that he was. Now look what he did. He established churches. He wrote many books in the New Testament. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in jail. He has suffered for the cause of Christ. And many of us have had to suffer for the cause of Christ by being without or being sick. And I really look at these sicknesses that I've had and accidents, I look at them as a good sign from heaven. Because when you're down and out, what do you suppose you do? You look up to the Lord. You have more time to talk to Him. Some of you today are discouraged. You've had many problems. And you wonder, well, when was this going to stop? Have you thought in your life, what are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for Him? Are you witnessing for Him? Are you doing personal evangelism? Are you tithing your income toward the Lord's work? These are things you need to ask yourself. Many times our prayers are not answered because of some sinful thought in our hearts. Or maybe it's a sin of lust. Maybe it's a sin of obesity or whatever, smoking, drinking. The other day out in the West Coast, here was these Christians, and they were all drinking this high-class, high-expensive wine, just drank a glass or so. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. Whoa, are you telling me that a person can't drink wine and be a Christian? I never said that, but I will tell you this. You're not a very good Christian. The Bible has much to say about alcohol. You say, well, that's because you're a drunk, an alcoholic. Yes, it was. But I read what the Bible says about alcohol and what it leads you to, what it does to you. And so I'm thinking about a witness. Now, you know, you say, well, Cecil, you've mentioned cigarette smoking. Is it a sin? Yes, it is. It surely is. Now, I'll tell you why. Because it hurts your health. And the Bible said our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should not defile it. But we do defile. Hey, I was watching a guy the other day in Portland. I was waiting for this friend of mine to meet me in the restroom. And he was sitting there drinking beer. And I think he smoked over a half a pack of cigarettes in less than an hour. Just one right after another. And I know that he has never seen a lung laying on a table. Have you ever seen a cigarette smoker's lung? Oh, my friend, it'll scare the liver out of you. It don't have any sponges in it. It has no air pockets in it. It gets hard. Every time you suck in a cigarette in your lungs, tobacco, you are nailing a nail in your coffin. And I've had some people say, Cecil, look, I'm a Christian, and I'm trying. So was I. You think I didn't go through that problem? Lord delivered me from alcohol the minute He saved me, but boy howdy, I wanted to hang on to those cigarettes, and I did. What, 6-7 months? I was never so miserable in my life because I wouldn't smoke around Christians. I wouldn't smoke around lost people. I'd have to hide the smoke because I didn't want to hurt my testimony. The night that God's Holy Spirit really, really got a hold of my heart. I was reading my Thompson Chain Bible. Oh, listen, I lived in that book, I'll tell you. And an ash from my cigarette dropped in that Bible. And I tried to blow it out of my Bible, but it wouldn't go. I never felt so terrible in my life. I just felt like I reached up and slapped God in the face. Oh, it was a horrible conviction. And I thought, if I don't quit smoking, God's going to just plain out kill me because I know it's wrong. So that night I told Him, with God, with Your help, I'm going to throw these cigarettes away and I'm never going to smoke again. The next morning I woke up and I remembered what I told Him and I thought I would die. Friends, cigarettes are dope. They are dope. And they get a hold of you, boy, you can't get loose of them. So anyway, I went to work that day, and at noon I came home for lunch. I never did that before. I came home from lunch and I walked in the house and I really wanted to die. And I said, God, I can't quit. I can't quit. I've got to, just got to have a smoke. And the Lord spoke to my heart about a scripture that was so real to me. I'd read it, but I didn't understand it. I'll not suffer you more than when you can bear, but with it I'll offer an escape. Lord, I said, I claim that as my promise from heaven. I have never smoked a cigarette since. I've never had a desire. To God be the glory and the praise. He did it all. He did it all when I was saved. He washed all my sins into a sea of forgetfulness. I wouldn't dare tell you some of the stupid, horrible things that I did while I was an alcoholic. I wouldn't do that. But I will tell you this. Tonight, if you're lost and you don't know the way, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the way. These people who gave up everything they had to follow Jesus did it because they love him and because they're thankful for what he does. I could never repay the Lord for his goodness, kindness, and mercy. And if you're a Christian tonight and you feel a tug at your heart and you know God is calling you to give up your worldly habits and the things of the world and start following him, I would suggest you do it tonight. Because if you don't, you're going to be the most miserable person. You shouldn't listen to this broadcast tonight, because God's Holy Spirit wants you to know he wants to the very best for your life. He wants you to do everything that he wants you to do. And he said, you know, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, I tell you right now, it's not easy, but it's the only way. Now, are you willing to give up the things of the world and turn your back on the things of this life and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm laying my life on the line tonight. Are you willing to do that? Well, if you are, then I want you right now to pray this very simple prayer. Dear Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. My sins are in the blood, but tonight, Lord, your Spirit have got a hold of my heart. I know I've been worldly. I know I've been hoarding money. I know I've been hoarding food. But tonight, Lord, I lay it on the line. I give unto you. Take my life, Lord, and use me as you see fit. Lead us by your blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, if you are lost and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, would you like to pray to receive Christ? Oh, friends, listen. He's standing with outstretched arms. He loves you tonight. You say, Cecil, I'm too big a sinner. No, there's no such a thing as too big a sinner. But you got to humble yourself and become a little child. Here's the prayer you need to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me. Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to find a good church. Oh, God, I thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.